Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And next, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that allows you to bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR Fantasy.com/SGPN. And finally, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at sobet.io/sgpn. That's SOBET.io/sgpn. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app because it's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hello, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 108. There was a bit of debate. Hey, that rhymes. That's a good start. A bit of debate, but I think we've decided that it is episode number 108. Thank you for coming to this here show, the show where we talk about people punching and kicking each other and how to make money on it. I will be your host, the blonde fighter, Jeff Fox, even though I'm neither blonde nor a fighter, but that is my nickname because I stole it. Because I am a, like the Fox and Dora, I am Swiper, and I swipe things. Anyhow, this isn't the Dora the Explorer podcast. Like I said, this is a punching and kicking and choking people podcast. I guess I have to dedicate it to someone. Let's dedicate it to America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, even though no one likes the Cowboys. I don't know why they're called America's team, because no one likes Cowboys except my associate co-host. So we'll dedicate it to the Cowboys on his behalf since they are playing this afternoon. Or actually, they probably already lost by the time you're listening to this. But anyhow, this goes out to the Cowboys. Let's bring in my associate co-host who started off the new year right last night by getting beat by me in every aspect of picking the fights. That would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
All right, so two questions. First of all, I yes. I know I lost you. I believe you had one more right pick than me, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, we were pretty mediocre. 6-4 and 5-5 by my count. Which is what we promised. We promised mediocreness, and we don't want to give you anything new in the new year. So we continued that. Now, second question is, are the bosses going to cut this episode for you dedicating it to the Cowboys?
Yes, because they're what? Well, Giants aren't playing, so
no. Eagles, but that doesn't mean playoffs, they. That doesn't it? Mean just because they're in the playoffs doesn't mean they like you dedicating something to the Cowboys.
That's,
I mean,
true.
I can't. Yeah, if you dedicated it to the Eagles, I'd be pretty bummed too.
And it's all the same division too, isn't it?
Yeah, all three of them. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. No, I don't think they listen to us to tell you. So I think we can get away with whatever we want in this here space.
I like
unfortunately,
that.
Yeah, unfortunately, the boss, Sean Green, did listen to us when he was he appeared on the UFC. What's that show called?
On the Line.
On the Line, which is a gambling-centric show on, I guess, what, UFC Fight Pass, I guess it would air on. And he took our advice and some picks, and unfortunately most of them were Dan's idea, and the picks didn't come through. So he shouldn't have listened to us.
Yeah, although on our recommended bets, I think we went a combined 3-3. You went 2-1, and I went 1-2. And I hit my biggest, the worst odds one, too.
Listen to this guy. Spin, 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 eh? It's all about spinning. All of a sudden, you're taking my right picks and you're adding them to yours and saying, hey, we did good, didn't we?
Well, if we just look at the recommended plays, how much did you walk away with? Because I think we both lost money on those. I was trying to do mental math just as I was looking at what I had written down. But I have a feeling you didn't win by that much, did you? Even though you had an extra pick right.
No, I didn't win by too much. To put it frankly, we both lost, but I won on my recommended plays, but we'll go through all of that, soon enough, because we have to talk about UFC on ESPN. Qatar, he should be named after the country, versus Chikeze, aka UFC Vegas 46. Surprisingly, we didn't lose any fights after all that, hullabaloo leading up to it, and us recording thinking that all the fights we break down would be gone. We didn't lose anything.
Yeah, that was quite odd. And Jake Collier versus Chase Sherman did wind up being the co-main event.
So I guess they must have known that was going to be one of the only finishes of the night. Maybe they looked in the crystal ball and they knew that.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they just really love fat guys in co-main event slots because that's always what they put there.
Yep, it's true. It's true. And the fattest of the fat guys came through. So, a lot of decisions. Maybe not the most exciting card to kick off the new year. 8 out of the 10 fights went the distance. Some good fights, but I like finishes, Dan. I don't like having to watch 15-minute slogs for every fight except a couple.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. That There were some really good ones. There were some, like, I would say some lackluster ones and some kind of upsetting ones, but, like I didn't enjoy watching Court McGee, Ramiz Brahimi, even though it wasn't just me losing that pick, but it was also, like, that is just, you know, emphatically not a fun fight to watch.
Yeah, the only thing worse than watching a 15-minute fight is watching a 15-minute fight where you're clearly going to lose your bet on it.
Yeah.
And it's just getting worse and worse as each round progresses.
One key piece of analysis was just fundamentally flawed, and now you have to just watch it be fundamentally flawed for 14 minutes.
Yes, sorry. Yes, sorry. All right, well, let's jump right into it. First, I want to tell you about some awesome sponsors and a guy named Shaq. Let's tell you about WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona. I've started already. We just started the podcast and I already can't say easy words like Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Plus, WinBet has a brand new bonus. Bet $5, win $400 in free bets. Plus, that Shaq guy. You can win a VIP trip to Shaq's Funhouse in LA. Bet $20 on WinBet's Build Your Own Bet feature and earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the big game. You and three guests will receive a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse, two nights at Win Las Vegas, and $5,000 free bet at Win Las Vegas Sportsbook, and a $5,000 travel credit. They got great promos. Odds and payouts are happening right now over at WinBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds and every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com. And we're brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The NFL playoffs are finally here, and prop swappers are cashing in. Like Steve from Tennessee, who last week sold his $250 100-1 Patriots Super Bowl ticket for $2,500 in prop swap. That was a smart move because that ticket is worthless now. Steve locked in his profit when he turned his $250 bet into $2,500. The buyer got great odds, but they didn't come through, did they? And the seller made 10 times his bet. Prosoff has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free Prosoff app today. Prosoff has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red hot tickets for sale, the loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash. See, another easy word, and I butchered it, cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets, where you can buy tickets for America's team to win the Super Bowl, probably, too. Dan says it's going to happen, even though, like I said, by the time you hear this, that dream may be over.
I hope it's not over yet. I'm like, they should get by the Niners.
It's a home game, too?
It's a home game, yeah.
You'd think. But yeah. What do I know? Yeah. Is Steve Young playing, or is it that other guy?
It's about 10 quarterbacks after Steve Young.
Oh, okay. So I'm a little behind. All right, fine. I'm a little behind. I'm not behind in my segues, because I'm not behind in our picks for the year, because Dan and I only differed on one fight last night, and lo and behold, I hit it. What a surprise. I went 6-4. Dan went 5-5 on our picks. I lost a little under $100. He lost $270. Ha ha ha. So betting $100 in every fight is not a way to make money, at least if you follow our picks. So let's figure out and decipher where we went wrong. We went wrong in the main event, that's for sure. Calvin Kattar did not look any worse for the wear from his beatdown at the hands of Max Holloway, because he did the exact same thing to Giga Chikadze. 50-45, 50-45, 50-44. I wasn't totally sold on Chikadze coming into this fight, and I definitely am not totally sold on him now, because he came off looking very one-dimensional and got picked apart by Calvin Kattar.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing is, a lot of people are talking about how Kattar must just have much better striking than Giga, and Giga's leagues behind, right? Because Max absolutely put it on Kattar, now Kattar put it on Giga, so Giga must be way down there. But I actually think Giga's striking is just as good as Calvin Kattar's. I think the difference maker here was not that he's just like some sort of innately better boxer. It was the pressure. I think he wilted under pressure. Calvin Kattar like turned it up to 10. He was in Giga's face the entire fight. He like pushed forward. He did everything he was supposed to, and everything that we now know Giga might have issues with, right? Like, the commentators said it right in the beginning. They said what he needs to do is put Giga on his back leg so that Giga can't throw those kicks constantly. And Giga did pretty much for the first round still try to throw them. They weren't as effective. And then he started getting tagged, and I think he also started getting tired. That was like a pace he wasn't ready for, especially in a 5-round fight. So, props to Calvin Kattar for going in with like the best game plan ever. I also wonder if he had tried to pressure Max Holloway like that, what would have happened? Not that I think he would have beat him, but I think it would have been closer.
Yeah, and it was good to see that he looked no worse for the wear, like I said, from the horrific beatdown he took in his last fight. His face is mangled, but that's what happens when you're a fighter. He definitely put a pace on Giga that he could not keep up. Plus, obviously, he tired him out. Plus, the beating he was taking tired him out as well. Yeah, but it was we did not see him winning this fight via striking. So we definitely whiffed on that. Is this a prospect loss for Chikadze, or is this something deeper?
I think it's mostly just a prospect loss, because, like, let's be real. So he won quite a few fights leading up to this to get him to this point, including beating Edson Barboza. It's not like he can't beat top level guys, but this is also the first of those fighters who put that kind of pace on him, right? Nobody else was trying to be in his face all the time. You know, there were people who tried to wrestle him. There were people who, you know, like Edson Barboza tried to even pick him apart from out distance because he thought he could outstrike him. So this was the first person who pushed him like that. I think Giga now learns that he's got to find a way to deal with that. And luckily, he's got a coach, Rafael Cordero, who is very good at helping his fighters with stuff like that. Like, he's an excellent striking coach. So he's in the right place to learn stuff like that, and he's in the right place to fix that problem. And so hopefully, yeah, it's just a prospect loss. But otherwise, I mean, like, if it's not just a prospect loss, it's because Calvin Kattar just laid down the blueprint for a whole bunch of other people to follow. But I happen to think he'll probably figure it out from here.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's stopping another fighter from just fighting the same way? But I guess you every fighter doesn't have the same gas tank and toughness as Calvin Kattar does. So.
Well, and not just gas tank and toughness, too. Like, I also think striking prowess. Like, there are some gifts out there. I retweeted a couple of them this morning if you want to check it out on Twitter, because I can't remember the name of the account that showed them. But, like, his head movement was also incredible last night. So it's both – first of all, I think the threat of the takedown worried Giga a little bit. Pushing forward, the cardio, and also having slick boxing. So I think some of what prevented or would prevent somebody else from just following the Calvin Kattar blueprint is there's probably only one, two, three guys in the UFC's featherweight division – who have those tools to do that, right? Like, Max Holloway could do that 100%. I'm now less interested in seeing Max versus Giga because Max would just pressure the fuck out of him. And maybe somebody else like Yair Rodriguez or something like that. But, like, there aren't very many people who could follow that game plan against Giga because it both takes amazing cardio, good pressure, the threat of a takedown, and good head movement. And Calvin Kattar just happened to show all of that last night.
He certainly did. So that's where we messed up, I guess, Dan. Oh, actually, we messed up. Chukwueze didn't look as good as we hoped. Very one-dimensional. Wasn't even throwing kicks, let alone doing any grappling whatsoever, other than he was pretty good at fending off takedowns. And Kattar looked way better than we expected. And I guess a year off from getting beat up as bad as he did him well.
Yeah, I think both – if you're looking to pinpoint what went wrong, I would say both him figuring out what went wrong in the Max fight and taking a year to process that and work on that was smart. And there's pretty much no way – you can assume that somebody will make gains like that and will fix those things. So I think, you know, sort of a unexpected turn there from Calvin Kattar, but an exciting one because now there's tons of good matchups for him in this division.
Yeah, especially a fighter, 33 years old and, 20, that was his 28th pro fight. You don't usually see a whole bunch of changes from a guy that deep into his career, but obviously we did. So you're saying a lot of good matchups for him. I think this clears up the immediate title contender picture a bit, which is good because it's getting a little jammed up now because we have Korean Zombie jumping the line. He's next in one to get a crack at Alexander Volkanovski in a couple months, and then you'd think Max Holloway is next since he was supposed to be fighting for the belt next. So that kind of clear that probably has Alexander Volkanovski tied up for the rest of the year or very close to it. So at least this Giga winning would have thrown a bit of a wrench into those plans because he would have been thinking he was in line for an immediate title shot. So, all right, going back to Kattar, what could be next for him? You said there's lots of exciting matchups. What do you want to see next?
Yeah, I think personally I would like to see him with Yair Rodriguez.
Works.
I think that one makes the most sense. Clearly, you know, he fought a little bit down in the division for this one. If you look at the official UFC rankings, he was 5, Giga was 8. You know, he fought back a little bit, and he did that because he took a really tough loss to the clear number one fighter in the division. So sometimes you got to build yourself up a bit. But looking this good, you have to imagine it probably propels him a little bit forward, even if he doesn't actually move up in the rankings at all. I think, like, he should fight somebody, if not Yair, maybe even Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega would be a fun fight, too. Especially because, like, I don't know how Ortega's grappling or wrestling would work against Cater, who does have surprisingly a pretty good wrestling base and a pretty good takedown defense. So that would be a fun one, too. I mean, obviously, you've got names like Josh Emmett and Arnold Allen there, too, who are, you know, nipping at the heels of that top five. But I think he deserves the fight ahead. So I'd probably go with Yair being my first pick, and then Brian Ortega is a decent backup plan as well.
Yeah, both of them work for me. Sound fun. They both could definitely headline a fight night card like we had last night. And who are you giving Giga next? Maybe a much-needed step back?
Yeah, I mean, like, it much-needed step
much
back.
Needed, but...
Yeah, it's kind of tough to say that, right? Because, like, he is 7-1 in the UFC and just lost to a guy who's in the top five. So, you know, maybe not a much-needed step back. But, yeah, somebody like Bryce Mitchell, if Bryce Mitchell gets by Edson Barboza, would be a good pick for him. That's a guy who is going to test his takedown defense again and see if it's still there, and probably he's not going to have all that much trouble with on the feet. You could also put him with somebody, man, some of these names at the bottom of this division are kind of hard to deal with, but maybe somebody along the lines of, I don't know, Sadiq Youssef kind of makes sense. He's kind of not going to threaten too much on the feed either. Like, that'd be a decent pick. So somebody like that, somebody in the, like, 10 to 12 range makes sense for Giga. And it's a little bit of a step back, but not much. Even Dan Ige wouldn't be bad.
Yep, they all make sense, for sure. All right, so that was our main event that we whiffed on. And for some reason, the big boys were in the co-main event. Jake Collier submitted, as everyone predicted. Actually, not one person on the Pick'em contest I run on my MMA site, MMA-manifesto.com, not one person picked Jake Collier to win via submission and over Chase Sherman. But that's what he did. Took him 226. I don't know. Is there really any breakdown? Is there any worthwhile breakdown on this fight? I got it right. You got it wrong, Dan. I don't even want to. Can we even break down how you got, why you got it wrong? It's kind of a toss up, and it just kind of happened, and it doesn't really matter either way.
Well, I mean, I can give you a little bit of how it happened. Like, sure. I thought Chase Sherman was a better and faster striker. I still think Chase Sherman is a better and faster striker. And for some reason, Chase Sherman decided to get in a clinch and just fall down.
Yep.
And then once he was on the ground, he was trying to get tapped out. Like, if you look when Jake Collier started reaching in for that rear naked choke, his, like, chin comes up and he doesn't fight either of the hands. He doesn't try to get out from underneath him. And granted, it's probably hard to. That dude weighs a big 265. It just looked like he wanted out. And, I mean, that moves Chase Sherman to, like, what? Like, fucking 1-7 in his last 8 or something like that. Last 8 UFC fights. He's 1-3 during this run. You got to imagine that's the end for Chase Sherman.
You'd think this, he's already been cut once. You'd think he would get cut.
And his only win is against a light heavyweight who fought him on short notice at heavyweight too. So like, I mean, you can't possibly think that there's anything left of this guy.
But they thought he was good enough to co-main event, so who are we to say? But they've cut people after being in the main event, so there's no rhyme or reason to that. But yeah, who cares? It happened. I got it right. That part of it I care, but who cares about the rest? And we actually, Dan unwisely predicted, told the boss that this fight was going to go the distance.
And I thought it would, because here's the other thing. If that does stay on the feet, and I'm gonna vouch for this pick over and over again. If that fight stays on the feet, neither of those two guys is finishing the other one, right? Like they weren't even close to like knocking the other one out boxing wise. They look like crap on the feet. Who would have predicted that fight would have ended by submission? Show me that person. I'll laugh in their face and congratulate them for the luckiest pick in history.
Yeah, like I said, nobody. There's 60-plus people entered the Pick'em contest, and not one person picked it via submission. People pretty much pick everything possible, too. So you're right. No one would predict that. So fine. We'll let you off the hook, Dan. then we go from the biggest boys to the smallest boys, flyweight. Brandon Royval won via split decision over Rogerio Bontorin, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. I thought we had lost this one. I didn't think Royval had won, but I see on MMA decisions, most people think Royval won the fight, which I guess I wasn't paying super attention to it or enough attention to it to score it. Neither was Douglas Crosby, who picked Bontorin to win. He was the lone judge who picked him to win. When I heard his score read out, I'm like, oh, okay, we won. If Douglas Crosby's on the other side of the aisle, then that means we definitely won the fight because the other two judges are not going to agree with him.
Yeah, you could say that, but we also got Chris Lee on our side on that one too. That was a hell of a judging crew on there. You get Douglas Crosby and Chris Lee in the same bite. But no, I do think that was the right call. I scored the first round for Royval. You know, like the only reason you could score that first round for Bontorin was because he like literally held him down for a minute, but like didn't throw a single strike. Like he just like weirdly clinched Royval's body while he was not, you know, not really trying to do anything, which is a really weird move. And with all of the threatening Royval did with submissions and on his feet, like, yeah, that first round was clear Royval for me. I was a little bit worried that the judges wouldn't score it that way. So I'm glad that they got it right. Also, can we talk about the fact that Rogerio Bontorin tapped out? He tapped out in that fight. He lost that fight by submission. Not by decision. He tapped in the third round.
When was that? I didn't see him tapping out. He did tap out for
real? Yeah, for real. Go back and watch it. It happens. Royval throws up an armbar. He literally reaches up, taps Royval's leg once, moves it back to tap again, and then realizes he's slipping out and decides, just kidding, I didn't actually tap out. The ref completely misses it. Like, I'm 100% sure he tapped out.
The Brazilian tap.
The old one-tap Brazilian tap. Yeah, just like Henan Ferreira in PFL recently. So, I'm like glad to see Royval back on that right side because that dude is, first of all, just so fucking exciting to watch, right? Like, he's such a joy to watch. Somebody compared him. I don't mean to keep, like, stealing people's tweets here and not ever remembering who said them, but that's kind of how I interact with Twitter. He kind of reminds me of, like, early career Tony Ferguson. Like, he crazy good submissions, yep. Doesn't mind necessarily being put on his back because he threatens from there. I think we saw, like, a couple of decent go-go plata attempts during that fight. Yeah, like, he was everything we needed him to be in that fight. Very exciting win for him, and it's just good to see, like I said, good to see him back on the right track because he's so exciting. He's such a promising prospect, and I want to see him fight again. I'd watch him fight every weekend, for Christ's sakes.
Is he challenging your – is he a challenge to you as king of the Go-Go Plata, Lodan?
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
Really?
I would say this. So I'm over 200 pounds. I'm definitely more flexible than him because I kept seeing him go to pull that leg over the shoulder, and he just, like, couldn't just, you know, yank his leg in that way, which is, like, it's really hard to pull off an omoplata or a go-go plata if you don't have, like, incredibly flexible knees and hip flexors, which is, I think is ultimately probably why it failed in that attempt, but... he's fucking really good off his back, though, so impressive, I will just say. Impressive attempts all around.
And it was good, yeah, good, like you said, good to see him get a win after dropping two straight, because we don't want him to get cut, that's for sure, so. And should be noted that Bontorin made weight somehow, even though
he looks so big.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it, but he did it. He couldn't even make weight for bantamweight last fight, but somehow he made weight for flyweight. So how he did it, we don't know, but we're glad he lost because we had Royval at -176. We're also glad that we're sponsored by Better Fantasy. The fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download their free-to-play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player props, pools, and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win some awesome prizes and also raise money for charity along the way. Solely free to play, you'll earn better credits by completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And let's tell you about SoBet also. We're brought to you by SoBet. Since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through the fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it's purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBET.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. And, of course, we'd be remiss not to mention the SGPN app is also out there. If you don't have it already, grab it. It's live in the App Store and Google Play. Gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. You can get a notification when this podcast drops in case for some strange reason you're not already subscribed to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed, which you should be. So grab our app, throw us an amazing review. All will be good. Moving on. All right. So we hit that one, which was nice. We hit the next one, too. Next one went exactly as predicted. Actually, one little thing was a bit different, I think. Caitlin Chookagian, no longer known as the Blonde Fighter because I stole that nickname. She beat Jennifer Maia, 30-27, 30-27, 30-27. Why was there no, why was she not making noises like she usually does? Dan, what happened?
That was weird to me. Also, some of it was weird. I mean, she threw it in there once in a while, but it was not as frequent. But also, like, some of it was because she was wrestling a fair amount, which is kind of crazy. Like, it looked like she added a new dimension to her game. You know, when we broke this down, we said Jennifer Maia's path to victory clearly through the grappling. And it, like, she was outmatched in the grappling. She couldn't win this fight anywhere, seemingly. So, yeah, props to Chookagian in a number of ways. Like, she continues to be, like, the meanest fucking gatekeeper in just about any division, right? Like, she's just, if you're not number one or number two at women's flyweight, you are not getting by Caitlin Chookagian.
And that makes it 10 wins for her, none of them via finish. That's probably why she doesn't get the amount of respect that she obviously deserves.
Style is also just not particularly aesthetically pleasing. Even in, like, I mean, compare, and I know this is comparing apples to oranges, but, like, compare her performance over three rounds and how she clearly won to somebody else who clearly won, like Calvicator or even, like, Court McGee, who was just, like, pounding on Ramiz Brahimi with, like, takedown after takedown after takedown where it looks really dominant. Whereas, like, Caitlin Chookagian's landing 1-2s, but, like, I don't know. It's not like they're whipping her opponent's head back. It's mostly, like, she's hitting you a lot more than you're hitting her, but it at no point in time does it even look close to a finish. So it's not even, like, she's just not getting finishes. She's also just not even remotely close to him.
No, it is true. But nonetheless, an impressive victory for her. Hey, you didn't butcher her name, or did you not say it? What's her last name, Dan?
Chookagian?
There you go. Remember last episode you were having a
little hard time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I, like, stuttered, like, seven times on it.
And I was saying, hey, they should go by her she should go by her husband's last name, but his last name is Cerminara, so maybe not. He's got a different one. Cerminara. He was an Olympic wrestler, apparently.
Oh, maybe that's probably where her wrestling's coming from.
maybe. So, is she next in line for a title shot? I know it's not sexy or fun, and she'll get destroyed, but you can't say she hasn't earned it.
Yeah, I probably. This is my big issue, though, with the the matchmaking at women's flyweight, right? We just got a rematch between two women in the top five of the division who had no reason to rematch each other, right? Like, is there any reason why Chokagian wasn't fighting Talia Santos tonight, or last night, rather, and Jennifer Maia wasn't fighting Manon Fiorot? Like, there's no reason those two fights couldn't have happened. And yes, then if Jennifer Maia and Caitlin Chokagian win and turn away the prospects, then they have a claim to be where they are. And if not, if even one of those fights turns around and goes the opposite way, goes to the prospect, then suddenly we have a slew of new contenders. Instead, we're just going to, like, match them back up. You know, like, who's to say the UFC doesn't just book Caitlin Chokagian versus, like, Jessica Andrade again in their rematch for no fucking reason, because that's what they're doing with the top of this division.
Very true. What we've long complained about their matchmaking in this division. So who knows what's going to happen next. Moving on, we got this one right too. Lightweights, Slavoklaz, Vyacheslav Borishev, TKO punch to the body, Dakota Harry Bush, 347 into the fight. Got himself in a bit of trouble. Maybe is he going to be that kind of fighter, Dan, that gets himself in trouble every fight and then pulls it out with a big knockout a la Fedor?
I didn't actually think he was in all that much trouble. He did get taken down, and like Bush was sort of working to his back and got his back, but like it wasn't like there were any chokes anywhere close or anywhere deep, or like he was just defending it the way that somebody defends somebody being on their back. I didn't think he was in any real significant trouble. And Dakota Bush was also a really great wrestler, so props to him on that. I said he was probably going to get him down once or twice, and Slava was going to get back to his feet. Like, that's just how Slava works. But yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get into some bad grappling situations in the future too. But yeah, for a lightweight, that dude hits hard, right? Like, have you ever seen anybody's body just shut down like that at those weight classes with a body shot? Like, he had to have crushed that dude's liver.
No doubt. He got rock on his feet, though, is what I was speaking of.
Bush
had him looking like he was on skates for a bit there.
I guess that's right. That's right. Bush did hit him with, was it like an overhand right that he hit him with? So, yeah, but I don't know if he was, I guess, that, yeah, maybe. I'd have to go back and watch it now, because I was mostly thinking of the grappling exchanges where I was like, what's happening here? Maybe a little bit. But, again, he hits hard enough that he can get himself out of any bad situation. So, also, recommended play, Slava Borishev by KO, and you had him just straight up.
Yeah, Dan's one recommended play that came through. He's going to jump ahead and tell you that he won that one. You think Borishev is in the right camp to fix his wrestling, since he's trained in Dan's favorite team Alpha Male? You think they'd be able to fix his wrestling up there? You'd hope, at least.
He's in a good place.
So onward and upward for him, hopefully. And then to start off the main card, we have Bill Algeo, Senior Perfecto, making us look bad, beating Yo Anderson, Bree 2. Only one announcer was saying Bree 2. I believe it was Dominic Cruz. I don't think Bisping even bothered. It was 30-37, 29-28. Where did we get wrong here, Dan?
I mean, first of all, I'm going to say you were wrong just a second ago when you said Dale Algeo made us look bad, because Joe Anderson Bree 2 made us look bad. Bill Algeo didn't do anything good in that fight other than allow Bree 2 to consistently go back to shit that wasn't working. Bree 2 had him beat on the feet multiple times, was cracking him, was in a place where he probably could have finished him on the feet if he just stayed there. And then he kept going to these weird takedowns where he duck his hand under his legs. And like, not only did Algeo stuff him, Algeo would stuff it into a way that would wind up in top control. He would use that, what is it? It's not a switch, but it's like I don't know the technical wrestling terms. I was never a wrestler. But when he grabs the back leg there and just squashes him, and basically Joe Anderson Pritchard just let that happen like 100 times despite winning that fight on the feet. If he just doesn't shoot those takedowns, he wins that fight comfortably. So, like, a wild game plan choice by Joe Anderson Breedtu. You know, like, all of the physical tools are clearly there for that dude. It's just such a shame that, like, his fight IQ is so bad, because it was awful in that fight.
Is that a knock on him, usually, or was this just a UFC Jitters thing?
I've never heard it being a knock on him before, but to be fair, usually I think you see that pressure in those early takedowns work for him. And the early takedown did work for him a couple of times here. And then Algio got wise to it or started using that, like I said, that funky wrestling style that squashed the takedown. And, you know, I obviously it worked. So he kept doing it. And then Breedtu kept going to it. But, like, usually his takedowns early work. And when they work early, he usually wins, or he stops people early, or he's able to keep going back to it. So I don't know that it was already a knock on him, and I don't know if it's jitters either. It could be a problem that he has, but I don't think he's ever been confronted with it. It's kind of like, for me, it's kind of like the Giga thing, where we were talking, like, you know, Giga got pressured. Can Giga not deal with pressure? And I think the same thing with Breedtu here. When Breedtu is being countered on his wrestling and losing those exchanges, can he not stop wrestling? Or is it just like this one time he didn't know to stop it because it had never happened to him before? So I don't know the answer to any of those questions other than to just say and take a step back and look at this one and be like, what were you doing in that fight? Because it was wrong.
Yeah, well, we're not buying stock in Joe Anderson Breedtu at this point, at least. So that concluded the main card, the main portion of the card. I went 4-2, Dan went 3-3 on those picks. All of the bonuses came from the main card. Main event, Cater versus Chikadze got fight of the night, 50 Gs, and then Jake Collier with the submission, 50 grand, and then Slava Claus, 50 grand for his TKO, punch the body. Pretty easy night to pick bonuses because you only had two finishes, and then the main event was very clearly the best fight of the night.
Yeah, it was maybe the easiest night of picking bonuses I've ever seen.
Yep, no argument from anyone in there because there's no other options. All right, prelims. We got this one wrong, even though he was introduced as Ugly Man Joe. He fought pretty ugly. Ugly Man Joe got beat by Jamie Pickett. The resurgent Jamie Pickett, two straight wins, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. We got this one wrong. Also, Dan, how could we have been so wrong with this one? Holmes did not look good at all.
I think he looked tired. I don't think he's used to going that deep into fights, and I think that wound up being a huge factor here. He's finished a lot of people early. He's still also pretty green in his career. He hasn't been fighting that long. So, you know, I don't think it's right to completely write him off and say that he's awful at this point in time. Like, I think there's lots of growth that can still happen from him. He's clearly in the right training camp. He's working it with Glory. Although he hasn't been there, you know, for his whole career, I don't think. I think he had to make that change somewhat recently. So he's in the right kind of place. But, yeah. I think some of it was cardio and some of it was, you know, like it probably breaks your will when you hit somebody with what usually knocks them out and doesn't knock them out anymore. He also very clearly needs to work a little bit on his wrestling because I think he had the advantage on the ground here and the way that he was going for those takedowns was just not very good. He had top body locks up against the cage and he was trying to just use like some simple foot sweep type stuff or some trip type stuff. And it wasn't working. So, you know, for him, I think going back to the drawing board on the cardio, going back to the drawing board a little bit on the wrestling, you might see a much better version of him. I'll say this. If I was buying stock in one of those two, I'd buy stock in Joseph Holmes before I bought stock in Jamie Pickett.
Yes. You're salty, though, Dan, aren't you? Who's Joseph Holmes?
He's Ugly Man Joe.
Ugly Man Joe. Oh, Joseph Holmes does not exist anymore. Ugly Man Joe. And I guess he learned what getting some of that Top Turtle podcast pixie dust sprinkled on you does to you in your next fight.
I mean, you can say that, but also do you want to remember that Calvin Kattar, Brandon Royval, and Caitlin Chokagian have all been on the show before?
That's true, but they weren't on. Well, Royval was on last week, wasn't he?
That's right, he was.
Okay, fine. All
also,
right,
so has So as Court McGee, Brian Kelleher, and TJ Brown, who have won the next three fights, we're about
there
to
you
talk
go.
About.
Court McGee made us look bad. I wasn't as solid on this pick as Dan was. I was flip flopping, I have to admit, but I'll have to come clean and say I did pick the wrong man. Ramiz Brahimaj got basically skunked. 30-27 by Court McGee. Maybe it's time to stop overlooking Court McGee, at least against this level of competition.
Yeah, my goodness, did his wrestling look good. He is just a guy who if he's better than you at wrestling, dude, it sucks. He's better than you at wrestling, because he's just going to keep going back to it. I do want to just say this absolutely perplexes me in retrospect. Do you remember when he didn't shoot a takedown on Carlos Condit? None.
Yes, sir. We talked about it last podcast.
It's fucking wild, dude. That is such an incredible thing to think about. Also incredible to think about, Sean Brady out-wrestled this man at one point in time. That'll really tell you something about Sean Brady, because Ramiz Brahimaj is a very talented grappler and a pretty damn good wrestler, and to see him just get ragdolled like this for 15 minutes was crazy. It was incredible.
Yep, we did not see this coming. We did see this one coming. Brian Kelleher beat Kevin Kroom 32-27, 29-28. Kroom was game and was making good use of his reach, but Kelleher looked very good in this fight.
Yeah, he looked fast. Yep. And I was impressed by his ability to mix in the grappling too. Because he did it just barely enough to just keep Kevin Kroom thinking about it. And he punished him when he went to the ground, so it wasn't even just like he was getting him just to get him. He was doing work there too, so... Yeah, all around, really impressed with Brian Kelleher. Obviously, fighting a short-notice opponent, but a much longer, dangerous, durable short-notice opponent. So, that win still bodes pretty well for me, for him. I'd like to see him against somebody a little bit better than Kevin Kroom, but, that's what happens when COVID ravages the card for you. So, looking forward to seeing more Brian Kelleher. He's fucking super exciting to watch, too.
Yep, we only got him for -335. Unfortunately, one of those lines were not posted when we recorded, but that's where it ended up at. And then in the opener, we got this one right too. TJ Brown beat Charles Rosa 29-28. He looked very good. I was very impressed by him in this fight. -280 we got him at. So not a huge win, but at least we started off on the right foot.
Yeah, and he's a guy a lot of people have written off too, because he lost his first two fights in the UFC, and then his third one against Kai Kamaka looked good, but some people didn't score that fight for him. He won it by split. So to see him look this good in this fight was a huge step in the right direction. Of course, right before the Kai Kamaka fight is when he started training full-time at Glory MMA. So he very clearly is getting much better working with James Krause too. I was impressed. Also, he was on Top Turtle. Do you want to mention that too?
He was on Top Turtle. Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was on Top Turtle
very recently. So apparently, it's not all bad luck. He looked really good in there. Lots of growth. Again, kind of shitty to not get to see him against his original opponent. Not that Charles Rosa isn't good, but Charles Rosa is not Gabriel Benitez. So I would have been interested to see what he would have done against Gabriel Benitez. The takedown game and the top control he had in that fight against Charles Rosa, who is already a good grappler, does give me hope that he could have beaten Gabriel Benitez. But again, just, these late replacement fights, I'm glad TJ Brown and Brian Kelleher came out on top and we made the right picks on those. But at the same time, it's just kind of a huge fucking buzzkill that we did not get to see the actual fights we came for, because I think they would have been both better fights and sort of more telling for where TJ Brown and Brian Kelleher are in their respective divisions.
Yep, very true. Charles Rosa finally, after that was his 12th UFC fight, he finally stopped his loss-win pattern. He's lost two straight. I think the main thing we learned last night is we shouldn't bet against these patterns, Dan, because they lived up lived up to the hype, so to speak. Jennifer Maia, she's kind of lost now. So she kept hers alive. Jake Collier kept his alive. That's 10 fights in a row that he's swapped wins and losses back and forth.
Chase Sherman's keeping that streak of just consistently losing going.
His
is going loss, 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 one win, loss, loss, loss.
Algeo with the win. He's made it 6 straight that he swapped back and forth. This phenomenon is very strange. Brahma, his is up to 7 now.
We'd have to keep an eye out on this next event, huh?
And then Kelleher, actually, he only had a little 4-fight win, but he broke it last night. He's done back-to-back wins. But it is very strange how this pattern comes up so often in fighters. I guess as we've said in the past, posited that it's probably just step up in competition, lose, step down in competition, win, step up in competition, lose, and I guess that's the way the sport works, and that is something to keep in mind when you're picking fights, I guess. I know it's not the sexiest of analysis, but it seems to come through more often than not.
Yeah, it. I would argue that it's not analysis. But
no, it's not. But you can win money if you follow it. So we didn't win money last night, though. I went 6-4, as I said, and Dan went 5-5 on just our straight-up $100 bets on every fight, which is what a true degenerate does. Go into our recommended plays. Dan went 1-2, lost $34. So I think you're safe because we're only betting 100 overall on that. So you didn't totally kill yourself. You lost 40 on Brahma winning outright. You won a $30 bet plus 120 on Slava via knockout or TKO. So you won $36 on that one, which is nice. Then you have Bree 2. Straight up winning for $30. You lost that. Unfortunately, he made it to the fight because he had Chukagian as the backup if his fight had fallen through and did not. So I went 2-1, though, and won $36.88. Hooray for me. $40 on Borishev winning outright. I won that. I lost $20 on under 1.5 rounds for Royval, the Royval-Bontorin fight. So that one went the distance. And then I think the easiest money of the night was $40 on Chukagian decision at minus 110. So that was a pretty easy play there.
Yeah, the easiest of play.
The easiest of play. So, Eddie, that puts the first UFC of the year in the books. I'm at my 60% hit rate for picking every fight as I was last year. And Dan is worse as he was last year. The Octagon's actually on the move for a change. It's this weekend coming up. Saturday, it is going to the Honda Center in Anaheim, California for UFC 270. We got a double title fight card here. Francis Ngannou versus Cyril Gane. I guess technically they're both champions, and they're going to put those belts together here for the heavyweight title. Then Brandon Moreno will be fighting Deiveson Figueiredo for the third time for the title fight. We lost a bunch of fights, though, here, haven't we? Because it looks like we have 4 main card fights listed right now. We lost something off the main card?
So there's a weird thing going on. So originally, Greg Hardy was supposed to have fought Alexei Oleinik on the main card. Alexei Oleinik pulled out of that fight and was replaced by Sergei Spivak, who agreed to step in and fight Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy then posted something on social media where he had ripped his finger open and dislocated it simultaneously. It was pretty gnarly looking. So then he pulled out of that fight. And from last I understood, they were trying to find a replacement for the replacement Sergei Spivak to fight. Whether or not you can find 2 heavyweights to fight on short notice that happen to be close to California, kind of up for grabs. But I will also just say, more than likely, what's going to happen is they'll just bump one of these fights to the main card because it's kind of already a deep card anyway. You know, there right now, according to the UFC, there are only 7 fights booked on the prelims, but there's actually 2 others that have been agreed to and signed to. So if you're looking at the UFC's official site, it does not have Aliyah Taporia versus Charles Jourdain, which is going to happen next weekend as well. And Jack Della Maddalena got a replacement fighter. Pete Rodriguez, a newbie to the UFC, has signed. and is going to fight him on short notice as well. So there's technically 9 prelims right now with only 4 main card fights. So I kind of imagine they're going to go 8-5 and just bump one of those up if they can't find a replacement for Sergey Spivak.
Yes, and hopefully everything else stays the way it is. We don't have a whole bunch of fights falling off on this card. Let's talk. Invicta also went down this past week, this past Wednesday. It was happening as we were recording the last podcast. A lot of fights fell through there, too. We originally had, well, we ended up with 6 fights, but they weren't the 6 fights that we broke down for you. 2 of Dan's fights that he picked on, those fights got canceled or a fighter got replaced in those fights. So Dan ended up going very impressive, 3-1.
I told you I'd get one wrong every time.
There you go. 3-1. He only made 14-30, but he went 3-1. He had Jessica Dalboni winning the title from Alicia Zapatella. How was that fight? I didn't watch any of these.
She slaughtered her. It was one of the easiest decisions I've ever seen. Alicia Zapatella looked like she didn't belong in there. And to be fair, I thought she slaughtered her the first time. I think I had it 49-46 watching it in real time. I think I gave Zapatella 1 round, and somehow 2 judges gave her the fight. And this time, Dalboni made sure that no judge could possibly even see 1 round for Zapatella. She went out there and just absolutely steamrolled her. Dalboni is really impressive. Zapatella was talking about moving up to 115, which is a crazy move when you're 4'11", because I just don't think she'd be able to get very far with that. And Dalboni also just pointed out, like, also with your reach being as bad as it is, there's no reason to go up that high because you can't even handle atom weight reach. Dalboni would be interesting to see if the UFC thinks she's marketable enough to try an atom weight division. I know I've been pushing for it for some time. But she is really exciting to watch fight. She's really aggressive. It'd be another Brazilian champ for them because I think that that's not a market that they are as heavy in anymore. It's one that they could use a couple more champs in. She looked the real deal.
So Dan got -175 for that. Next fight that you
actually
watched.
Which, by the way, ballooned up to like -325 by fight time. If you tried to
– Really?
Bet that as the fight was happening. Yeah, she opened as a plus money underdog, I think, because she wasn't the champ. And then immediately, like, people were like, juice that line all the way the other way till she was like a -325 favorite.
Crazy. Dan had Haley Cowan beating Monica Franco. She won via submission. Dan hit that one, -260. Anything to say about that fight?
Haley Cowan's the real deal. She's looked like a grinder in there and very exciting one.
Yeah, and we could use an exciting fighter at bantamweight, which is good. Flyweight, did this fight come through? Yes. Helen Peralta beat Elise Appone 30-25, 30-25, 30-26. So was this as one-sided as it started?
It was, yeah. And for all the reasons that I broke down on the pre-fight show, too, like Helen Peralta sits down on her punches, and when she hits you, you know she fucking hits you, whereas when Elise Pone hits you, she kind of like backs away and throws like little teeps and doesn't commit to anything, and man, did it show, because she just got peppered for pretty much 15 minutes straight.
And then the opener that Dan was so certain on is the fight he got wrong.
Yeah, it always works that way, doesn't it?
Chucky, Sarah Kliksa beat Maria Favela, who Favela missed weight. Chucky beat her via split decision. Was that the right call?
I think so. It's not what I wanted, but at the same time, like, yeah, I think it was probably the right call. I will admit that I maybe wasn't watching it with as close of eyes as I should have in order to weigh in on an opinion on where the results fell. But, like, yeah, I don't think they botched it. I think it could have gone either way, and they probably gave it to the right person.
So you go. As per usual, Dan comes – when it's not the UFC, Dan comes through.
Every time.
He gets one wrong, but other than that, as long as you don't bet the farm on that one fight that he gets wrong every time, then you're good to go. And that's why he's the legend on the SGPN Slack channel. Everyone loves Gumby. And on Twitter, they love him at Gumby Vreeland. They don't love me as much. They love me a bit at Jeff Fox Writer, but not as much. You should follow both of us there, though. Anything else we should cover, Dan, before we wrap things up?
No, I'm afraid to do what we usually do, where we like tease what we're going to talk about on Wednesday as far as fights go, because I figured by then none of these fights will exist.
Yeah, we kind of talked about the fights. We mentioned a few of them, so hopefully we didn't jinx the ones we mentioned. And hopefully Dan's not interviewing any of those people this week.
Let's see. Have I interviewed some of them already? I interviewed Vanessa Demopoulos, who's fighting on the card. Jasmine Chizudavicius I've interviewed this week. Matt Favola is going to be on this week's show along with, my episode with Cody Stamann already came out. So there's a lot of ones that I could have possibly jinxed and could get in car wrecks.
Ngannou, you used to have on all the time too, right? Before you became big time?
Yeah, then he started big time, and me and Francis did a couple of – I've had Brandon Moreno on. I interviewed him for a non-recorded one and did a written article one time because he was not yet comfortable enough with his English, I think. But that was way long ago. There's a lot of dudes on this that I've interviewed before.
Before he was a big movie star, right? Now he's the star of Jackass.
Yeah, he's the star of – I don't know if he's the star of Jackass. He's sure going to be on it. He's going to be on it. Yeah, sure.
All right, let's put this one to bed. Make sure you follow us on our Twitter handles that I mentioned before. And the SGP and Slack, you can always hit us up in the fight channel there. The Slack is lots of fun, so definitely get in on that. Read our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. It's a long weekend for you Americans. So I think Dan's going to be doing an NBA MLK DFS article for tomorrow. Is that still the plan?
That's still the plan. You guys should see that sometime. I'll probably have it ready tonight if my editor is ready for it.
Wow, we'll see if I'm ready for it. Looking like they will be. So yeah, check out all our stuff over on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Dan doesn't just know about MMA. He knows about a bunch of other sports too. You could argue he doesn't know about MMA, but anyhow, you can read our stuff at MMA-manifesto.com. I think that's all I need to tell you. Dan, take us home.
I'm Daniel Gumby Freeland. He is the blonde fighter, Jeff Fox, and we will catch you on Wednesday.